Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the time.
Hello, everyone. This is Valerie Echter, your host for Engineered Wellness, How to Live and Thrive in Today's Stressful World. I am coming to you from a bitterly cold Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And when I say bitterly cold, I honestly mean that. I left the house today and my car said it was 8 degrees out. And we have probably 6 to 8 inches of snow on the ground. And it is just one of those days where you don't really want to go outside. You want to stay inside and keep warm and have a nice cup of tea or coffee in front of you pretty much all day, I think. but we are broadcast all across the world, and I actually have a jam-packed show today. So we are just going to jump right on in because my guests are honestly just awesome. I did bring back one of my favorite guests. I have Sasha Sky with me today. Because
Yay.
I thought it was important. Yeah, hi, Sasha. I thought it was important to bring you back because around the holidays, it is so hard to stick to any sort of diet or fitness routine because we're being drugged in so many different directions, and we have
yes.
Christmas cookies and pies and turkey and everything right in front of us, it seems like, for an entire month. So we're going to get to you in a minute because I want you to kind of just reintroduce a lot of the things that you coach on and, give the listeners some great tips and advice on how to just maintain their weight and keep their energy up through the whole holiday season here. I am so excited to have my guest, Tracy, on today. Tracy Timberlake is a beauty blogger turned business coach, and she leverages the power of video marketing for online entrepreneurs. This gal is amazing. She's an award-winning beauty blogger, and she has, now listen to this, she has 20,000 YouTube subscribers and almost 2 million YouTube views. So she is a self-proclaimed successionista and literally cannot stop working because she just loves it so much. She is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to building your business and your brand via video online. And so I cannot wait to talk with Tracy as well. So, Sasha, let's just go ahead and jump right into things. I was looking at your Facebook page today, and one of the comments you had on there, and I'm going to read it here, was counting calories becomes completely unnecessary when your food doesn't have labels.
Yes.
Can you tell our audience what that means?
I think to back it up, I think that when you start eating packaged foods, you're not just eating the food. You're also eating chemicals, preservatives, and artificial sweeteners sometimes, depending on, what you're grabbing off the shelf. But you also, even if you're eating out of the health food store, if it's prepackaged, it's got extra stuff in there. And that extra
mm-hmm.
stuff, which preserves it longer for you, isn't good for our bodies, and it doesn't register as food. So what it does is you can take a 200-calorie or 100-calorie snack that, you're thinking, hey, 100 calories were great, but there's something in there that has an explosive effect, which actually blocks our hormones from working properly. So it basically means that even though there's 100 calories, your body's freaking out, and it can't process it like food. So you have 100 calories of junk. A, it makes you more hungry. B, it doesn't give you nutritional qualities, but C, it mucks up your system. So it's kind of like if you were to put sand in a gasoline tank, you wouldn't expect very good results because sand is not compatible with this engine. Neither are preservatives. They're not compatible. So we can't digest it. But also, if you eat the wrong ones, it really is going to ruin your ability to process your food, you know, naturally, which is what you need to do to have a slim body. Is you need your body to be efficient and to really process the food you put in. So when you eat like a piece of fruit, or something that grows the way that you're eating it, even meat is fine if you like to have meat. You have vegetables, you've got fruits, you've got grains, and if you can look at it and say, this is the way that it was made, it's still in the same form. Or physically, like you can take a rolled oat, right, and you can hammer it down into a flat oat, which is what those oats are. Hey, that's not processed. That was hammered flat. That's still not messing with the component of the food. Your body can eat it. Your body can use it. You're efficient now. Inefficiency is the end result of food in, food out, burning clean, and no more fat stores.
Oh, my gosh. That is an excellent explanation. Just of eating, I like to call it natural, but you're right. Nothing's been done to it. You're eating the way that it's either been grown or produced. You know, it's natural. And when you add all those artificial fillers in there, our body just, it goes in chaotic mode because it doesn't know how to handle them. And that's what leads to increased weight and less energy and all these different illnesses that we have.
Absolutely.
I want to give our call-in number here real quick. If you have a question for Sasha, our fitness guru, or if you want to get on the line and talk with our Tracy, our guru of the video blogging, I should say. I know she'll correct me on that. our blogger. The call-in number is 646-716-7979. And I'll repeat that again, 646-716-7979. Now, Sasha, one of the big things this time of year is we kind of give ourselves like a hall pass. We're like, I can see it's the holidays, you know, and our mindset is just completely off. So can you explain, you know, what kind of mindset we need to have to be able to maintain and continue with our fitness routines during the holidays?
Absolutely. You know, so I work with people a lot. And at the end of the day, like anybody can pick up a piece of paper that says what to eat. But it is the mental shift, the commitment, the discipline. That's what gets you through. And the truth is, I define success with my people as every time they do something they didn't necessarily want to, that is a successful day. So if you are able to narrow, and I've got tips and tricks for you today on how to narrow your holidays, okay, because there's like two of them, right, Thanksgiving and Christmas. So if you can narrow it down to like 2 days, not like 2 weeks or 2 months, that is successful because that means the rest of the time you are more disciplined and committed and disciplined to do what was right for your body instead of getting so caught up. But it stems from the base mentality that food is entertainment. Food is entertainment. So when we go for holidays, we're looking at cookies and cake and ice cream and we're looking at pies and we're going, that looks great. This is going to make me happy. It's an entertainment. There's family around the table and this is how I treat myself. And there's such a social aspect we have, and especially with our marketing from the 70s and 60s, I think, food is friends, food is family, food is joyous occasion. So when we look at food, we're looking at it for an entertainment quality. Are you going to make me happy when I eat you? When I eat you, is this going to make me feel good? And it's like food is not emotion, guys. It's energy to keep your car running. And so when you eat it, and so you have to really break that mindset first. And so that's the hardest part. And once you do that, and once you say, food is going to fuel my workout, food is going to fuel my life, yes, I'm going to go and enjoy my holidays, but I understand the difference that this is not supposed to make me happy. This is just food for entertainment and family surroundings. Then you can extract the fact that you can sit at the table with the family and enjoy the family and enjoy the social and really drink up all this amazing holiday spirit without having to put that to our bodies. Our bodies don't actually need pie. But you know, at the same time, if you say too much no, then you become rebellious and you become very unhappy. So there is a balance, and I have tricks on how to balance that out. because she's eating flowers.
Oh, nice. You know, I want to just reiterate, because you said some awesome things here. You know, and we do, at least speaking for myself, when I think of holidays or really any, you know, it doesn't have to be Christmas or Thanksgiving. It can be any holiday. I think of all this food, you know. I mean, like Easter for our family, it's, you know, big with the ham and the gravy and the, you know, and Christmas, the big turkey and the pumpkin pies and pecan pie, which happens to be a favorite of mine. And I love your point about making it about your surroundings, meaning your friends and family, and just the beautifulness in being surrounded, you know, by those people and the atmosphere, and not focusing so much on the food, you know, kind of taking that aspect out of it, you know, still enjoying in moderation. But I think that's great. That's awesome.
Yeah. So are you ready for my tips on how to do that?
I was just going to say, you have to share some tips with us.
I am so excited. Okay. So first of all, one thing I do with my people is, especially people who have difficulty and they're, you know, or difficult families, I should say, I have them email ahead. And I have them write a really nice, well-thought-out email that sort of explains, hey, listen, you guys, this year I'd like to start a new family tradition. I'd like to bring in an after-supper walk. And then maybe they can, you know, recon the area and figure out where that would be. The second is, if they're partial, like, let's just say you really enjoy wine and alcohol, but you're trying not to at this point of the year, you're going to basically then interject some sensitivities that you might have. This year, I'm trying really hard not to eat a lot of bread. It might be difficult, but please just don't offer me some, you know, and so you can also enlist support. But by doing this ahead of time, you sort of allow people an opportunity to think about what you've said. And so when you're in the moment, they don't take it seriously. You're not offending your mother-in-law because you're not eating her bread that she made. She's realizing that that's maybe not something that you are going to want to participate in. And so it helps to start the communication with your family about, like, hey, this is where I'm at. This is what I need from you. Not all your family is going to show up and support you, and they're not all going to understand. However, those that do want to support you and can will show up for you. And chances are they're going to start talking with you about that. Hey, how come you're not having bread? Oh, well, actually, it turns out, blah, 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 it makes me feel terrible. And they go, wow, well, you know what, me too. And now you have a support buddy at the group, which is so important.
Yeah. Oh, my
gosh. The second thing. Yeah, so that's part of how you change the family culture. That's really important to sort of enlist support and engage in family support. That sort of is a free pass that I don't have to go your way this time. I'm going to do my thing. Number two, bring food. Don't ever bring a sweet. You focus on bringing a gourmet vegetable. And you can spend a week agonizing on what vegetable, get on epicurious.com and really soup up some kind of, you know, kale or artichoke dish or something to that extent, and focus on a vegetable. You're starting to infuse something positive into your family life. So you've got vegetables that you're bringing. Bring it in a recycled dish, or bring it in maybe something from that you got from Goodwill that you don't need to bring home. And then step three, you leave it all there. You do not take them. And if they come to your house, you have rid of all of it. You wake up the next morning and there are zero leftovers. So even if you enjoy yourself and ate way, way, way too much, and even if you're like, oh, the pie, oh, I don't feel good, you wake up the next morning with a clean slate. It's not in the house. There's no leftovers. You are back to food that you already know that you are good to eat for your body. Damage you do in one day can actually be gone the next day or two if you eat clean from that point on.
Yep.
So, you know, and some people travel and they're with your family for like a week. Plan to go to the store and bring or buy a cooler so that you have your food around you. Enjoy the meals that are communal. During the other time, stick to the foods that you know are good for you. I had one of my ladies, she gained 4 pounds in 1 week, and she was really worried and upset by it. And so I asked her, like, well, what did you eat? She goes, well, everything I wanted. Okay. I get it now. And that happens, you know, and that you need to have those moments. But it was isolated to a short period of time. She's back on track. The weight's all gone. It's only been, as that was Thanksgiving, it's only been a couple of days. She's back on track. She's actually down 2 pounds less than that. So, doesn't have to be, but when you bring it into your home, because of the holiday. You take that stuff home with you and that piece of pie and whatever. Now it's in your fridge, and somewhere your brain says, you switch into the other mindset of, this is food, it's entertainment, it feels good, and then I'm entitled to eat this because of the holidays. And that is that has no definition around it. The holidays start somewhere in, like, what, October and goes to, like, February? Like, you don't have any kind of time frame. You don't have any beginning and ending to it. And so you flounder. Next thing you know, you're buying donuts. You're thinking, hey, one's not going to kill me. And it's like, yes, but it will, because it's not just one. You're starting a cycle of bad mentality towards food. If you can leave it there, you have one day of utter enjoyment and eating the plethora and enjoying yourself. You might make yourself a little sick too. You wake up the next day, it's gone. It was a one day thing.
Yeah. Oh, that is awesome.
And I have one last tip. When you get in trouble. If you get in trouble, and if you've had the pecan pie and you had like a couple pieces and you brought it home and it was really great, and you're kind of like, hey, and now you're at the grocery store starting to, like, you know, check it, because you go to the store instead of like drive through, and you're like, okay, I'm at the store at least, and you're going through the bakery section, you know, and you're like, okay, maybe I shouldn't be in this section now. So there's an elixir that I start having people drink, and I go to heavy spice. Okay, so I recommend people drink chai tea 4 times a day just for the spiciness, or ginger root is better. So just straight up taking ginger and cutting it up into water, so heating up hot ginger root into some water. And then once a day, you want to take a cup of warm water, you want to add in some apple cider vinegar, dash of pepper, turmeric, and some ginger, and maybe a little garlic if you want to, and you make a super spicy drink out of it, and you drink it. The spice helps to actually, like, erase your memory from your palate. So, like, if you've been eating a lot of sweets or a lot of carbohydrate, okay, and your body's, like, starting to crave the sugar, and your mouth and your throat are starting to want that kind of food. If the reaction's in your mouth and your throat, like, eating the heavy spice throughout the day, it helps to reset your palate and reset your desire. The spice of it, the heat of it, actually goes in and sort of calms that desire in your mouth and your throat for the gorpy food that you can sort of, you know, the soft, palatable food. So that helps, because it's so strong that it, like, it sort of resets all that desire. And usually by the third day, you're out of that sugar craving addiction, like, I want it from the sense. And that's different, though, than if it's in your body. If you've been eating sugar for six months, it's a different system than if you just had it for a few days and you're like, ooh, but now chocolate and almonds is lunch, right? No. So that's when you switch to the spicy food and you go for your spicy drinks.
That is a great tip. I actually have a friend that came to me a week or two ago asking about, tips on how to change her palate. She was kind of craving sweets, and I am definitely going to pass that along, that the spice from ginger, chai tea, and turmeric can help to leverage that and change your palate so that you don't have those cravings. That is awesome. Sasha, can you give everyone your social media accounts so that if they want to learn more from you about fitness or health, they can contact you directly?
Yes, I have a couple. So I would say that my website is Firewhirl, which is FIREWHIRRRL at firewhirl.com is my email. And firewhirl.com is my website. It's kind of down right now, so I only have like a couple pages up on that. But then my Facebook account, you can research me at Sasha Sky, spelled C-H-A-S-K-Y-E. Sasha Sky.
Awesome. And I do want to point out there's 3 R's in Firewhirl for everyone who's going to Google that. Okay, perfect. And I'm going to give the call-in number one more time here for our guests. If you have a question for Sasha or our upcoming guest, Tracy, please call in. The number is 646-716-7979. And if you want to contact me, you can find me online at Facebook, Valerie Echter, which Valerie is V-A-L-E-R-I-E, Echter is E-C-H-T-E-R, Or you can find me, my website is ectorlifestyle.com, which is ectorlifestyle.com. It's a mouthful. I'm also on LinkedIn as well, too. So please feel free to contact me for additional health and wellness coaching opportunities. And I'm going to go ahead and switch gears here because we have an awesome guest on the line as well. And Sasha, you stay put because I'm going to come back to you for a few things here. And actually, I hope Tracy didn't just drop off, but I'm going to go ahead and do her intro, and hopefully she'll call back in here. But Tracy Timberlake, oh, there she is, just one second. Tracy Timberlake is an award-winning beauty blogger turned business coach. She helps online entrepreneurs leverage the power of video marketing to grow their business and their brands to new heights. She personally used video to grow her own personal brand to over 20,000 subscribers and almost 2 million YouTube views. That is honestly amazing. She is a self-proclaimed successionista and literally cannot stop working because she loves it so much. When she's not communicating with clients or the YouTube community, you can find her nose in a book. And this is what I find so awesome about Tracy. She's forever the learner. She has a bachelor's in business and a master's of arts degree. She's currently pursuing a doctorate degree in organizational leadership and works on her dissertation, which honestly is business coaching. She loves her faith, her family, her friends, and her five-pound Morkey named Ziggy. So I want to welcome to the show Tracy Timberlake.
Hi, Valerie. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, well, and I want to point out to all my guests that Tracy's actually in the middle of a conference, and she was happy to step out for an hour to visit with us. So I certainly appreciate that. So can you tell our guests who maybe don't know Tracy, what is a vlogger?
Sure. A vlogger is someone who – so we know what bloggers are because bloggers, they make blogs via website. Mm-hmm. Well, bloggers make video blogs, and we mostly post them up on YouTube. That's where you will find the majority of bloggers, but there are other platforms as well, like Vimeo and such, but I am a YouTube vlogger, so I make video logs.
Yeah, and you specifically, you've kind of honed in on the beauty sector, correct?
Yes, so that is what I started out in, is I started out in just as beauty vlogging, beauty and lifestyle, and so I talk about hair products and cosmetics, and so it's very feminine and geared towards people who are, you know, beauty enthusiasts or want to get into beauty, don't know how to do a smoky eye, for example, or how to do their curly hair. That is what my YouTube channel started out as.
Yeah. Now, you know, I want to point out, because you really kind of started out like just the normal type person. And on your website, you mentioned, I lived the normal life for a long time. You went college to corporate, you tried it all, but you found yourself unfulfilled every single time. And you asked you asked the question, is this really it? So how did you come up with that urge, you know, to find more?
I just kept feeling like I was living somebody else's life, even though the jobs that I had were great. So I went to college, did a corporate job working in a high-rise downtown. That wasn't it. So I was like, well, maybe I should switch to a nonprofit. So then I moved into the nonprofit sector, thinking, you know, this is a great organization. I'm giving back a lot, and I'm able to really pour into people's lives this way. And all of these jobs were fantastic. And I really did feel like I was making an impact, but I just felt like it wasn't the life that I was meant to live. I felt like there were other aspects of who I was that could contribute better to the world than what I was doing. And I didn't want to, you know, take a job that was really meant for someone else, because there are so many people in the world that need jobs. And so I figured, you know, I'm not just going to stay here just to selfishly, you know, make a paycheck. I'm really going to take some time and just chase my own dreams for a little while. And I remember that's exactly what I said when someone asked me why I was leaving the job. As I said, well, I think it's just time for me to just chase some of my own dreams now.
Oh,
and so I did that.
You, You say it so nonchalantly, but that's such a big endeavor. It's scary.
I know it is. It is, but I think at the time, I don't know. I just was like, I have to go. I knew that it was time. I really did. I felt like I knew that it was time. I had no idea what I was going to do when I left, but I just felt like a strong calling to do it, and I've always been a person to really trust my own inner guide and my own intuition, and so that was the time to do that.
Absolutely. And so you kind of got your start, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it really just started with friends and family, like asking you for suggestions and tips, and you just got tired of kind of retelling everything, and so that's somewhat how you got into the video side of things, correct? Or posting.
Right. Right, that's exactly it. People would ask me over and over again, and I was like, you know, if I had a video to just show them, you know, products that I was using, then this would be a lot easier, and I wouldn't have to repeat it. So that's how I started making videos.
Yeah. So have you always been drawn, you know, to video? Like, I guess, what pushed you to video versus just writing about it?
No, I have not always been drawn to video. So this is actually very interesting because I am an introverted person. Like, I would prefer to just be, like, alone. Even in other organizations where I'm – yeah, it's really funny. Like, even in organizations where I'm called to be in front or to be a leader of some sort, I will always prefer to not. Like, I like to be the person behind the scenes. I love organizing things and getting things together and really just pushing other people forward because I think that there are people who are great at that. And I never imagined myself as being that. So I don't know exactly why video was my choice, but
yeah.
It was. I think because beauty products, you just have to kind of show it. Like, you kind of have to see step by step. Mm-hmm. I think that most people are visual, and I felt like it was going to help people better if it was in video format.
Absolutely. And I find it amazing that you say you're an introvert, because if anyone that knows Tracy, she is just this huge energy when you meet her, and her videos are awesome. And so that's interesting to me.
No one believes me when I tell them this. They're like, no, you're not. Yes, I am. I'm just high functioning. Okay.
You know, and that just goes to show our audience that even if you feel you are an introvert, you can still have a very successful career online, specifically doing videos.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I do want to ask you, Tracy, can you give all your call-in information, but your website and social media accounts? So if people want to contact you directly, they can do that.
Absolutely. So I'm Tracy Timberlake everywhere. So if you search Tracy Timberlake on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, I'm Tracy Timberlake all over that. And then my website is www.tracytimberlakeonline.com. And Tracy is spelled T-R-A-C-Y. And then Timberlake is just like Justin. And that's it.
Just like Justin. Awesome. So, you know, there are some mistakes, and obviously you, I had to laugh because you said, I saw on your, I think it's your website, you had mentioned your first video was in your bathroom. You know, you didn't have the fancy lights or anything.
No.
So, you know, what are some of the mistakes that you've made, or, you know, five mistakes that generally people make starting out with video blogging?
Okay, I think, this is cool because this is something that I talk about a lot. So the five mistakes, the most common I find are, one is that you're not using video at all. Like, that you're so, like, shying away from it because you feel like it needs to be absolutely perfect, so you just don't do it. That, I think, is the number one mistake. I think that it's one of those things, like, it just gets better as you keep doing it. So you've got to start somewhere. Just make a video. Doesn't matter where you do it, Facebook, YouTube, Periscope, just make a video, I promise. It'll get a lot easier. So that's number one. Number two, some people, there are other, you know, video bloggers out there who will say sound is more important. I think that lighting is most important because if you're watching a video, you want to see what you're watching. You know what I mean? Like, this is a video. Most people are visual, so we want to see what's happening in the video. So using good lighting, and it doesn't have to be fancy, honestly. Like, you can sit in front of a window and then just have the light from the outside shining in, and actually sunlight is the best light that you can have. It's just we can't always afford to capture it at the right moment. But sunlight really is the perfect lighting because it just, in terms of the technicalities of how we see things, it's just the best. So make sure your light is good and you don't have, like, a shadow on your face and I can't see what you're doing. And then we move into sound, making sure that, you know, we can actually hear you. If you're talking in your video, that we want to make sure that we can hear you, you know, that a dog isn't barking in the background or your neighbors aren't having a dance party. So find a nice quiet place or a quiet time to do those videos. And then just really not being yourself. And this was actually a mistake that I made in the beginning, because when you get started in video, it's very easy to want to do things like other people because you see how awesome their videos are, and you're like, I want to do it exactly like that. And that I wasn't being very true to myself when I was doing that, trying to speak a certain way or trying to edit my videos a certain way. That wasn't really my personality being branded in my videos. So just, you know, do what you know, talk about what you know, be yourself. And then be engaging. So this is number five. Just make sure that you are engaging with your audience. Don't look at the viewfinder. This is a common mistake. People will look at the viewfinder instead of looking at the lens. So if you look at a viewfinder, then it's like you're talking to yourself. And I get it, because it's right in front of you and you want to make sure that you're seeing yourself and that you look good because people, you know, don't like the way they look on camera. So I get it. But then, you know, once you're in frame and you like the way you look, you like the angle, then just go ahead and switch your eye to the lens so that you're talking to your audience and you're not just talking to yourself. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I have actually made that mistake before of looking at myself in the and I didn't, you know, you don't think about that you actually need to look at the camera lens.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Okay. So if someone wants to get started with vlogging, how do they even just go about doing that today?
So again, this is just, you got to just jump in. Like, there's really no way to, like, dip a toe in or get your feet wet. Like, you just have to dive in with everything. So plan it out. I mean, you know, don't just do whatever, but plan it out because you want it to be purposeful and useful, and you want it to be something that you can engage your audience with. But I say just grab whatever camera that you have and film a video. Pick a platform. There's so many out there. Every organization or social media platform is starting to incorporate video, because video content really is where it's at right now. You'll see 80% better conversion rates on your landing pages. You're four times more likely to be ranked number one on the page of Google with video. 4 billion people are watching YouTube videos a day. The average person watches 40 minutes of video a day, not on television, but online. You'll start to see your business really just go to a new level when you start incorporating videos. So don't be afraid of it. Don't get left behind without making videos, and just jump right in. And this is why I created my new ebook, which I'm so excited to share with everybody.
Yes.
And it's because it's a question that I get asked all the time. Can I get started with my iPhone? And I'm like, yes, you absolutely can get started with your iPhone. And so my new ebook is called Smartphone Filming, A Beginner's Guide to Making Videos with the Camera That You Already Have. And it's free. It's a free download. Everyone can download it if you go to www.tracytimberlakeonline.com/ebook. That will take you to the page where you can access your free copy of it, and it'll give you like a guide of how you can get started with just using your phone.
Oh my gosh, that is an awesome offer for all the listeners on today. And Tracy, I'm going to give the phone a number here for anyone that wants to call in and ask you any questions, because you have a ton of knowledge regarding blogging and just business coaching in general, which we're going to get to here in a minute. That call-in number is 646-716-7979. And Tracy, again, can you give more of your social media accounts so that if people want to get in contact with you, they can either call or email or look at your website?
Yep. So I am on social media literally like 16 hours a day, so I will answer you probably within 5 minutes, unless I'm sleeping. But I'm Tracy Timberlake everywhere. So Instagram, it's Tracy Timberlake. Twitter, Tracy Timberlake. Facebook, Tracy Timberlake, and then my website is TracyTimberlakeOnline.com. And then YouTube, you can just search my name, Tracy Timberlake, and then you'll be able to find me that way.
Awesome. So I have I actually got a message that someone's curious, you know, how do you go about monetizing your videos then? I guess, how did it work
you? Yeah, so this is a great question. I'm glad that somebody asked this question. So there are a few ways that you can monetize your videos. So the way that YouTubers monetize is, the first way, of course, is using Google AdSense. Just, you know, putting the Google ads on your videos. That does not make a ton of money, I'm going to be honest. Like, you're just going to make essentially, you know, a few dollars here and there per thousand videos. That's how that works. But if you have, you know, if you make, for example, if you have 200,000 views a month, well, then those few dollars really do end up adding up, right? So
yeah.
The more videos, the better, because you get more views. And more views means more money through AdSense. So that's the first way. The second one is through sponsored videos. So I will work with different brands and organizations to create videos based on their products or their services, and then they will sponsor videos that way. And so different price ranges depend on, you know, what the content looks like, what their campaigns call for, and how well I know the company, things like that. And then the third way is just using videos to really drive traffic to your website. So if you're a coach or an entrepreneur, using videos to just get people from YouTube to your website, because that, and getting them on your list, because that is where you, that's where your money is. So really getting them into that funnel so that you can start to communicate with them on a regular basis, because now they're on your list and then they can start to get to know you even more, and then you can upsell them later to what products and services you have.
Awesome. Those are great tips. I have another question that came in regarding, you know, the specifics on the lighting. Like, are there certain things, aside from the natural sunlight that you talked about, I guess, are there certain tips or suggestions you have for the listeners on how to effectively light their videos?
Yes. So there are, I mean, there are tons of different ways to do this, but I'm going to go through sort of a basic way. You want to make sure that there are no shadows behind you. Like, so if I'm sitting in front of a wall and I'm sitting very close to a wall and then there's a light directly in front of me, you're going to find that that creates a lot of shadowing behind you, and that can be very distracting in certain videos. So the way that you want to do this is, if you, let's say you have a light-colored background, like most people like to shoot in front of a white background, you want to have light on the wall as well as in front of yourself, so that it sort of creates a balance, so that you're not creating shadows behind you, because now behind you is also being lit, and then have lighting in front of you. Now, there are obviously technical ways. You can set the lights at 45-degree angles in front of you and such, but just make it so that you're not, even though the light is on you, you're not casting shadows behind you, because that can cause distraction. And the way to not do that is honestly just put light behind you. And when I was first starting, there were ways that I did this. Like, I would sit a lamp behind my chair against the wall, you know, just to make sure that the light, there was enough light behind me to not create shadows. So you do not have to go and spend a ton of money to do this. I mean, you don't have to get a professional lighting kit. I actually have a video on my YouTube channel that's how to make, it's something like how to DIY lighting or something. And I think I did that light setup for like $30. So if anybody wants to just search on YouTube, Tracy Timberlake DIY lighting, I'm sure that it'll pop up for you. But yeah, you can do it for under $30. You can, I have friends who use lamps from Target. Just, you know, just have enough light really to not cast shadows.
That's very interesting. Great tips. You know, I'm learning myself when I do my health coaching videos, you know, the correct way to do them, and that's awesome. You know, I want to actually move into, you know, you've been a very successful vlogger. You were actually the beauty guru of the year in 2012. You know, I'm curious, what did that mean to you? Was that important, or that's,
Absolutely. So it came at a time where I was just actually starting making YouTube videos on a consistent basis. Like, I felt like People were starting to now engage with me and ask me for more, and I was starting to work with brands at this point, but I didn't have a lot of subscribers. I had less than 3,000 at this time, and the other people who are nominated for the same award had, there were some that had over 20,000. I think one person had like 50,000 or something, and I was like, there's just no way that I can, like, here I am with my little, you know, 3,000 subscribers. But the fact that, I mean, and it was, you know, it was, there was an element of voting, so people were voting, and so that meant a lot, like the people voted for me when I certainly wasn't as big as the people that I was up against, and it just served as confirmation that I was really doing something right, and that I was able to really engage with my audience, and they were all cheering me on and rooting me on, and it was great, and these were strangers, you know, like they'd only seen my face, and I couldn't believe that, you know, these people didn't know me in real life, but they were so willing to be supportive and to vote for me. So that it was honestly the most humbling experience, but also the most awesome.
That is so cool. You know, and you talk about, or I kind of sensed a little bit that, you know, you're a very positive person. I've talked to you, and I know this, but it sensed like you maybe had a little fear during that time. And I want you to talk a little bit about just, you know, a positive mindset. You know, you mentioned something to me yesterday about a training wheel when you were six years old. And can you tell that story? Because it's so important in business and in life just to have positive mindset.
Sure. So yesterday we chatted a little bit and you asked me if I'd always been this way, like if I'd always been positive or whatever. And I said, I think so, because I can look back on certain elements of my childhood when I just was, you just could not tell me any different. Like I was going to, if I wanted to do it, I was going to do it. And not in like a rebellious way. I wasn't a rebellious child, but I was very independent in the sense that I was independent and I was resourceful. Like I could just, if I wanted something, I would figure out how to do it. And I was 6 years old at this time and I had a bike, but my bike had training wheels on it. And there was a girl in my neighborhood who had a very similar bike, but she didn't have training wheels. And I remember just standing there and I asked her, can I ride your bike? And she was older than me. And she said, do you know how to ride a bike without training wheels? And I was like, yeah, yes. But I really did it because I'd never ridden a bike. Like I hadn't even, like my parents hadn't even like tried to teach me how to ride a bike without training wheels at that point. But I was like, yeah. She's like, okay. So I just hopped on the bike and started pedaling and didn't fall. Like I never fell, didn't even like have a doubt in my mind that I was going to be able to ride this bike. And I did. And I rode the bike. And from then on, I had no more training wheels because I just got on and started pedaling, like didn't think about it.
You know, there's so much symbolism there. I mean, in life, I think we always want to have our training wheels. You know, we always want to have that fallback, that safety zone. But you can't have extraordinary success if you always feel like you need a safety zone. You have to get outside your comfort zone. And, you know, like you said, you just got on that bike and pedaled. You just went. You did not look back. And we need to do that in life.
Right. I wish that, you know, everything in life was that simple.
Oh, I know. So I want to kind of focus a little bit more on your coaching because you've built this successful brand and you've been a successful beauty vlogger. So now you actually help coach others who want to do the same thing. And, you know, I really want to talk about, you say one thing that made you different is you're a champion of everyone. Can you kind of tell our listeners more about that?
Okay. Yeah, I think that everyone sort of has a purpose for them being here, right? Like I think that the way that we discover that or the way that we find our success is to really be true to ourselves and our own particular skill set, our own particular purposes, our own dreams and desires, and they're all so different. Like I, you know, want to be a successful coach, obviously. There are people out there who could care less about coaching, and they just want to climb Mount Everest, and that is awesome. So the diversity in all of our dreams and desires is really what makes the world go round for me. I love hearing people's dreams and stories. What I find is that when I when I first started really turning my blogging into a business, and I would meet people at events and things, and they'd say, well, and I'd ask them, well, what is it that you do? And they'd say, oh, well, I'm, you know, I'm an administrative assistant, or I am a nurse or whatever. And then they'd say, well, what do you do? And I would tell them what I did, and it almost gave them permission to now say, oh, well, really, I want to write a book, like, which I really wish that they would have led with that. Like, I wish they would have been like, oh, well, I'm an aspiring author, or whatever the case is. But people don't. They sort of think that their life is what it is. Like, if I'm a – not that those professions aren't great, that nursing is a wonderful profession, teaching is a wonderful profession, but it's only wonderful, I think, if that is your calling. Because if there's something else that you're supposed to do, well, then by golly, don't do it. Like, someone is waiting for what you have to offer. It could be me. I could be the one waiting. So I'm not a very patient person. So that, I think that if there's something that you desire to do, then you should just go for it. And so when people tell me their dreams and their hopes, I'm like, yes, absolutely. Because you know why? I don't want to do that. And that means that someone should. So that should be you. Yeah. And I will always champion other people's dreams and be the biggest cheerleader of their success.
Awesome. So when it comes to coaching, if a client comes to you and is interested in working with you, you know, do you do that in person or is it typically online? Can you just kind of describe
your coaching method? I do a couple of different ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do a couple of different ways. So a lot of it is on Skype if it's remotely, but then I do have VIP intensives where I will fly them and I will actually physically fly them into Miami for a weekend. And then we sit and I go through all of the video stuff. So I essentially will serve as your creative director for, usually people will come because they need to get their training packages filmed right away, or they're rebranding and, you know, they want a ton of, you know, like video footage plus photos. And so I get to sit with them. And because I'm a beauty blogger and I'm a beauty enthusiast, they sort of like the personal aspect because now I can not only work with them on video, but I bring in, you know, a photographer, I bring in makeup artists, and we sort of work on everything all together in about a weekend. So I do both Skype and in person.
Oh, my gosh. So all different facets, I guess. Mm-hmm. If they want to work with you, you figure out a way how to do that.
Yes, exactly.
Perfect. You know, exactly. That's so important. Action is just the biggest thing, you know, getting it done. You brought up the comments regarding brand. You know, people are changing their brand. And I was curious, you know, you went towards the beauty sector, but have you ever strayed from your brand? And, you know, I'm just curious because I think some people don't know what they want to do. They maybe know they want to be a blogger, but they just don't know what their niche is yet. I guess what advice do you have for those people?
My advice is really to just start with what you love and what you know. You know, like, I, for example, I can't vlog about, like, cars because I know nothing. I drive it, and that's, like, it. But so I'm not going to start talking about something that I really have no knowledge of. And this is for any coach or any online entrepreneur. Like, what you're doing or what you desire to do is generally something that you already know about. You're not going to, like, go Google how to change oil in a car so that you can talk about it. You know what I mean? So I think that you should just start there. Start with your passions. And generally, you'll start to see things change. And once you get people really engaged, they'll start to ask you questions, and then things will turn. They may go from one end to another, but really just stay true to who you are. That sounds so cliche, honestly, but that's like your moneymaker. Like, your moneymaker is you. You are the brand. So what do you love? Talk about it.
That's perfect, because so many people, I think in general, we don't think we have value, but we do have a story, you know, we do have a purpose, and like you said, do what you love. That's so important. I love that comment. That was wonderful. You know, I want to switch gears a little bit here. You know, I'm just curious, if you weren't vlogging or coaching, what would your dream job be, Tracy?
If I wasn't vlogging, I wasn't coaching, I'm actually a singer, so I think I would be a singer, but again, because I'm an introvert, I don't know that that would work, or it didn't work so well, but that's what I would do, or I would do more things there. So I actually, for fun, I could never do this full-time, but for fun, I actually coach students who are going on auditions, like for theater. So I would love to do that full time. If I wasn't coaching or vlogging, that is probably where I would go more towards.
Aspect
of the art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm going to give the call-in number here because I'm going to bring Sasha back on to the guest call-in number. If you have a question for Sasha or for Tracy, the number is 646-716-7979. And Sasha, I'm going to bring you back in. If you were not fitness coaching, what would be your dream job?
I just work out all the time.
Awesome.
I appreciate triathlons, and they just require a lot of training time. So if I didn't have a job, I would just be, you know, working out for about 4 or 5 hours a day.
Oh, awesome. You know, sometimes it is it's within you. It's what you love to do, right?
That's right. That's right.
Okay, another question, and this one I'm really interested in for both of you. And we'll start with Tracy first. What holiday gift do you want that is less than $20?
Oh, man, this is tough.
I know.
You know, I am a huge – I would love, like some sort of cool international coffee from somewhere because I love coffee. I just love it. It's not even because I love caffeine. I just love coffee. I love smelling it. And so I would really like a bag of coffee from, like, India or something, you know, like some exotic place.
Oh, my gosh, that is so fun. That's really a neat idea. So if anyone's listening here that needs to get Tracy a gift, you've been given a heads up.
Right.
And then, Sasha, what's the one thing you just can't live without that's less than $20?
You know, candles. I love candles. Yeah, I'm down with candles.
That's a really good idea as well, too. It's always fun to burn the scented candles this time of year, with the spicy candles like you talked about.
Yes. And there's also paper whites. Paper white bulbs are great right now. Mm-hmm. And they sit in your windowsill. You can put them in a mason jar with a little bit of gravel, and they're great winter time, and then they bloom like all in January and February. You can watch them grow.
Oh, that's fun.
Plants, yeah. They're like 69 cents or something.
Wow.
That's really cool. Now, another question for the ladies. I love to do a grounding recipe of the day. We're all about stressing less here and being grounded. And so my snack of the day that I want to tell everyone about is super easy. It's actually just vegetables and a plain Greek yogurt dip. But there's this ranch seasoning mix that I love to just mix in with the ranch dip, with the yogurt dip. And so it doesn't have the calories that a traditional ranch dressing would have, obviously. And then you could cut up. I love mini peppers. I don't know if you've seen them. They're sold at the store in a bag of like red and green or red and yellow and orange mini peppers, and they are so tasty. So that's going to be the grounding recipe of the day. And Sasha, I know I want to finish up with you because I've promised a few people some information about fitness tips and regarding specifically workouts. So can you maybe give us just some quick workouts that people could fit in through this holiday season?
Absolutely. I have a favorite, totally old school workout that I do when I have no equipment, I am somewhere, and I just can't do it. So it basically is starting with jumping jacks or preferably burpees, and then do push-ups, sit-ups, and then squats or walking lunges. And so you do a pyramid, which is three. So you do three burpees, three squats, three sit-ups, three walking lunges. And then you go six. So you do six squats, six burpees, six lunges. And then you do 9, and then 12, and then 15, and then 18, and then 15, and then 12, and then 9, and then 6, and then 3. And it's a full body, plus it has a cardio circuit. It requires zero, sit-up push-ups or push-ups, and squats or squats. You probably can't ruin them. And then you can do jumping jacks, or you do the burpees for the cardio, and you can do them anywhere. They require, basically no room. You can do them anywhere.
Yeah. That is an excellent tip. As you kept going up the ladder there with the numbers, I was getting tired more and more.
They always seem really easy until you hit about 12, and then it's like, oh, wait, what am I into? I've done this wrong. This hurts. Yes. So,
yep.
So it seems like you can do them. And then, you could stop at 12 and then go back down, or you can go up to 15 and go back down, or you can go up to 18 or even 22. It depends on your fitness level.
Yep. Now, another thing I guess we could throw in there is, people always say, what fitness routines should I do? And my first reaction, I'm not a fitness guru or an expert like you, but I always say, do what you enjoy. And so, mm-hmm. what are some activities you do, Sasha, that's just kind of a fun pastime, but also burns calories?
So what I'm doing right now, and fun. So you're talking to someone who just told you my dream would be to work out 4 or 5 hours a day. Okay. So keeping that in mind, my thing right now that I'm really loving for that fun thing is I'll go and I'll do a run. But what I do is I run for 10 minutes and then I'll do 15 burpees. And then I'll run for another 10 minutes, and then I'll do walking lunges. I'll do 10 on each leg. And then I'll run for 10 minutes, and I'll do jump squats, 20 to 30 of them. And then I'll run for 10 minutes and be home. And that totally ramps up, and I don't run very fast. I run so slow right now. It's a jog, okay? It's a jog. And you could probably do it as a walk as well. But that adds a component of effectiveness on your workout that is just huge. Huge, because it's no longer steady state workout. You've got those different moves change where your blood is flowing, and so it changes also, and it's changing how you're absorbing your oxygen into your blood. It's not just a cardio workout. Now you have all the components of a full balanced workout, and the 10 minutes kind of keeps you I can do 10 minutes now, and you kind of go your 10 minutes, and before you know it, oh, here's my next thing, and then you run, and you're like, oh, before you know it, and it's outdoors, and it's got a lot of movement to it, so it keeps you entertained and drawing in for the next and the next thing and the next thing, so you can move through the workout pretty easily.
Yeah, perfect.
But they're
Tracy,
hard.
Now I know you. Oops, excuse me there, Tracy. I know you need to keep your energy up for that vlogging. So, what are some things, maybe just hobbies or pastimes that get you out and about that help to burn calories?
It helps to burn. I actually love working out as well. So I love, I do love a good run, but it's so hot in Miami that I don't get to do it outside very often, except for right now when the weather's a little bit better. So I've been doing that, this especially after Thanksgiving. Heaven, no, I needed to go on extra runs then. So yeah, I love running outside. I walk my dog. We go on long walks multiple times a day, So. Just being out and about in fresh air is always good, especially when you're kind of sitting, for me, I'm sitting at my desk a lot. So,
yeah,
just doing anything that's out and about. And shopping. Shopping can be cardio.
There we go. I like that school thought. Well,
yeah.
I want to thank my guest today, Tracy Timberlake, our expert beauty blogger and business coach. And Sasha Sky, the fitness guru who apparently loves to work out a lot, which is wonderful. You ladies have been wonderful and provided a ton of just great information for our listeners today. Sasha, real quick, if someone wants to go to your website, what's that website again?
It's Firewhirl, FIREWHIRRL.com. And you can find me on Instagram and Facebook. I don't really do the others. At Sasha Sky, SASCHASKYE.
Perfect. And Tracy, your website real quick.
Website, TracyTimberlakeOnline.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you, ladies, so much. It has been an awesome show. If anyone wants to get a hold of me, it's Valerie Ector. You can find me online, ectorlifestyle.com. I wish everyone a happy holiday season, and we will see you again on our December 17th show at 10 a.m. Central Time. That'll do
it,
and we will see you.
Thank you.
Yep, we'll see you ladies later.
Okay, take care.